morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. Nice snowy morning. All of us get a chance to enjoy the weather here in Colorado as it shifts into the spring area. And here we are to talk about legal matters. Any legal question you might have, any legal matter going on in your life, we'll talk to you about it. We'll discuss it with you. We'll try and give you what we know is the law and what we understand would be the unique or the legal aspect and the legal side of the matter. And then we'll talk to you some more about what you might be able to do to address it. If we can't give you the answer, we'll look up the answer. We'll talk to you during the week. We'll call you back. We'll take your name and number. We'll see who we've got to talk to get you some answers. We are Bell and Pollock. We are personal injury lawyers. We've been doing this since 1984, and that's what we do, personal injury cases. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence or as something that has been caused by someone else or not your fault, you're entitled to compensation. And we talk about compensation, and we get it for you. We've been doing that since 1984. But every Saturday morning, we come down here Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock, and we spend an hour just talking to people about general things that are going on in their case. So we try to take care of things. We try and help you out. We try and talk to you. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Brad. How are you doing this morning?
Good. You're having me notes that I can't see, so what do you got?
Well, you know, Brad, I had my own personal loss. I had a water flood in my house, and the first thing that I should have done, which I finally did do, was get the policy, to read the policy to make sure I understood what the terms and conditions of the contract were. Right now, I have kind of conflict over trying to get some of my depreciation back. But I have to go back to the contract from the insurance company to find out exactly what I'm entitled to.
And it's a good idea to find out what you're entitled to. And a lot of times it's a good idea to know in advance. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Kenny on from Kiowa. Kenny, you're upset about somebody calling 911.
Yeah, I'm the guy who had his back door busted in by the sheriff's department.
I remember you. You were upstairs sleeping, or?
Yes, I was upstairs in a chair sleeping when they did all this stuff.
Right. You had a front gates that were chained.
Yep, and they cut the chain off.
Right.
They did not have a search warrant. They did not have a right to be on my property to begin with. And they busted in the back door of my house and did damage to my door, and I have to replace it. And I want you, if you will help me, find a lawyer that I can file suit against the person that dialed 911.
Well, you know, we'd be happy to work with you on it and help you find a lawyer. What's did you talk to the people that came out, the emergency responders?
Not really. I contacted the sheriff's department, and I got the big runaround. They sent me to Douglas County Sheriff's Shed. Douglas County sent me back to Elbert County. Anyway, I got a DVD verbal of what happened and everything. I've got it all here. I haven't looked at it yet or played it or anything else. But supposedly they gave me all the information of everybody who's involved in this.
Oh, they did. So you were able to find out who made the 911 call.
I was told by a guy I go to church with that it was a friend that I had been doing the food bank with for the last 6 months.
Okay. And have you, you know, and I don't want to cause a confrontation that could get violent or anything, but have you talked to this person to
absolutely
see?
Not. I was, I had an incident in my house in which I ended up in the hospital. And it turned out that my minister from my church came over, and he told me that I needed to forgive this person for what he did. And I told him absolutely not.
Okay.
I want to sue this sucker because he had no right to violate my right to privacy. I'm 74 years old. I'm retired. I have an 80-acre ranch. And what I want to do in my private life is my private life. He had absolutely no right whatsoever to call 911 on me because he could not get a hold of me.
You know, I think what we're going to do is we're getting into some details of a case that you know, you said you want to refer to a lawyer. We're going to help you get that referral so you can talk to a lawyer and find out your legal rights.
Okay, I talked to one of your staff. I can't remember his last name. His first name is Robert. and his last name ends, I think, in E-V-E. I can never pronounce his name. And I've talked to him, and he has taken, and he has called a couple of lawyers who refused to take my case. And I don't know what else he's done since then, but I figured that since you guys are in charge of the company, that you guys would know more than he would.
That's Robert Brovich you probably spoke with.
That's who it was.
Yeah, and you know, I'll talk to him, and we'll get you a referral. We'll find a lawyer to help you address this case.
I want to go. I want to go after him big time, and I won't drop it until I get this thing in court.
Right, and to be open about it, Kenny, I don't know. And because I haven't researched or looked into what claims for relief or what basis you'd be able to carry out a 911 claim against this person, I don't know about the damages. Those are things that I don't want to talk about on the air because I want to do it in a very I want to do it in a confidential setting.
I appreciate it.
But let me I'm going to have you give your name and number to Kevin. So we do still have your, so I make sure I have it, and we'll work on finding a referral. All right, buddy?
I'd really appreciate it because I'm not going to drop this.
I don't think you are. I know you. There's no way.
I am super bent out of shape over this whole thing, and there was absolutely no reason in the world for this person to ever call 911. If he was concerned about me, he should have driven out here to check on me first. If he'd have done that first and then called 911, I wouldn't have a problem.
Let me get you a referral, okay? So stay on hold, buddy.
All right, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today to talk to you about what your legal rights are and to talk to you about how to help you address your legal rights, you know, and help you understand what's going on in your life if you've got different legal matters that need to be addressed. We continue to help the community throughout the last 20 years that we've been doing this kind of work. We're going to take your calls in the order in which they've come. We've got a call from Ron. Ron, you have a question about car insurance.
Yeah, I do. Essentially what I'm concerned about is how much insurance, liability insurance should you have on your car to protect your, let's say, for example, your home, your pension, and so forth. Because I know there is a state minimum, which is what I have right now. But I've heard from others that perhaps, you know, she get an umbrella policy or something like that.
Oh, you absolutely should, Ron. How much insurance you should have is a matter a lot of times of how much you can afford. And there is a state minimum, and it's $25,000 minimum. That's not enough. And that's a... if you can afford more, you should get more. $25,000 barely covers things. Hey, Ron, can you hold until we get through this commercial and talk to you on the other side?
Sure.
Okay, hold for us. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio. We're going to talk to Ron right after this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. We are talking to Ron, who wanted to know about making sure he has sufficient car insurance, and talked about the state minimum. And Ron, the state minimum, Ron, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. The state minimum insurance is $25,500, and that's $25,000 coverage per person and $50,000 coverage in the total accident. So if you have three people who are hurt in the accident, and that results in $75,000 worth of damages, the insurance company only has to pay $50,000, and it gets split among the three people, usually in some kind of pro rata. That's the total amount of coverage that's being provided. And another part of the policy that you want to watch out for is the underinsured motorist coverage or uninsured motorist coverage, which is if somebody else hits you and causes you injury, then normally that policy will only have $25,000 of coverage for you, because you would need to go to your own insurance company to get recovery. And the reason you would need to go to your own insurance company to get recovery, if that other person didn't have insurance, it's the only place you're going to get recovery for that person's negligence. So That is the state minimum, and it's really not enough. I want you to think about going into the hospital, being hospitalized, going to doctors, injuries that you incur, how any kind of physical therapy you've got to go through. You know, Bob, I don't think that's enough at all.
You know, Brad, I had a client that was in a car accident. He went to a freestanding ER after the accident. He was there for 2 hours. They charged him $3,700.
So you know, you stop to think about how that's eating into what you've got. And Ron, your med pay, there should be a part on your policy that talks about med pay, and that's another $5,000 to pay emergency responders in case an ambulance has to come out and take care of you. So the reason I bring that up is there's three areas that you want to watch for your insurance. You want to watch for your insurance to make sure that if you make a mistake, you do preserve your home, your pensions, the money you're entitled, that you've worked hard to acquire. If the other person makes a mistake and they don't have insurance, you do have coverage from some other place, and then you've got the med pay, which takes care of emergency responders. My advice to people is never waive your med pay or your underinsured motorist coverage.
You know, Brad, by statute, they have to offer you $5,000 worth of med pay. Most companies write more than that. Some write 10. I think USAA writes up to $100,000 worth of med pay coverage. The one thing good about that is if you use the med pay, you don't have to pay it back. There's no subrogation.
Right. So the first thing I would say is sometimes insurance agents in a rush to get your business will say, well, let's waive these other things. You've got health insurance, don't you? Well, health insurance may not cover this. It may be deductible, may be copay. And additionally, the med pay, as Bob said, you can get back from the negligent party and keep. So the first thing you want to make sure is your agent doesn't talk you out of the med pay or the underinsured motorist coverage. You want to have that because that protects you. The second thing is you asked an excellent question. You know, we talk about whether or not you have enough money and whether or not you should get an umbrella. I personally think you should. I think you should look at your policies, and I think you would want to bump up your coverage. Believe it or not, I think you'd want to bump up that underlying coverage to 100,000, maybe more. And if you can get an umbrella based on a $100,000 policy, umbrella policies are very inexpensive. And quite often, that umbrella policy will take you to, will give you another $1 million worth of coverage. And it not, like I said, it not only protects you from somebody suing you, but it also makes available for you, if you ask for UIM coverage, it also gives that money available to you in case you get hurt.
You know, Brad, also the one thing about if you have an umbrella policy, the insurance company is going to require you have a minimum amount of insurance. So you mentioned maybe 100,000. Most policies I've seen, you have to have at least 250,000.
I agree.
Insurance in order to be able to buy an excess policy above 250. The other thing is about the umbrella policy is that not every insurance company sells an umbrella that has uninsured motorist coverage.
You have to ask for it.
Yeah, they'll sell you a liability umbrella, but probably has no protection for car accidents.
So is that making sense to you, Ron?
Yeah, of course, you know, the driving force of my question was concerned about your home or your pension. Can they go after your home and pension, or it's like if we did have the minimum?
If you crash into me and cause an accident, and I'm hurt, then all of your assets are at stake, except for what you are entitled to under a homestead exemption and under bankruptcy rules. And that's if it's a clear, honest mistake. Just you ran into me because you were looking somewhere else, or you didn't happen to hit the brakes or whatever, or you didn't see me coming into the intersection, then your assets are at stake. Now, the first place a personal injury lawyer will go is to find out what kind of insurance coverage you've got. And let's say you ran into me and Bob's representing me. The first thing Bob's going to do is find out what your coverage is and then see what my injuries are. And see the full extent of my injuries. And once Bob finds out what the full extent of my injuries are, let's say you only have $25,000 of coverage and my personal injuries are, my medical bills are $50,000. and then I lost time from work, and I'm going to lose time from work. So let's say I'm going to lose another $50,000. So there's $100,000. And then I'm going to have my pain and suffering, my loss of enjoyment of life. I'm going to have what they call the general damages. Let's say that's another $100,000. So there's $200,000. Well, Bob's going to get your $25,000 of coverage. And then he's going to go to my policy, and he's going to ask my insurance people to pay the difference, because I have underinsured motorist coverage, and you would be an underinsured motorist person. But my insurance company now is saying, we got to pay $175,000 to Pollock because he's got the policy. And it's because Ron didn't have enough insurance. They then are going to look to your assets for that extra $175,000. Sometimes before I even go to those people, I'm going to have my lawyers look into, I'm going to have Bob look into whether or not you have assets and your pension may be one of them where, okay, we're going to take your pension. Let's say your house has equity above the homestead exemption, which I believe right now is about $75,000. They're going to walk in and they're going to say he's got money, his house is worth, he's got equity of $275,000. So we're going to take $200,000. We're going to make him sell his house. We're going to take it. And yeah, that can happen. And that's why you want to look and say, okay, what can I reasonably afford for my insurance coverage and make sure that I get a full amount of insurance coverage? Making sense?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, making sense. So we're presuming that you could prove, let's say, that the extent of your injuries were such, rather than saying, oh, my neck hurts or something, there's no broken bones, but my muscle is bothering me and so forth. So, but there has to be a proof, first of all, as I understand.
Absolutely. And that's the way it should be. There has to be proof. There has to be proof that you were negligent, that you caused the crash, and there has to be proof of the injuries and the damages and the losses that the person sustained that you ran into.
You know, Brad, when we go after someone's uninsured motorist coverage, well, if we settle a case for policy limits, then which means the total amount of insurance available, and we want to recover from the uninsured motorist carrier, which is your insurance, we have to ask permission because they're going to do an asset check.
Yeah, they'll run an asset check on you. Now, Ron, you're exactly right. We still have to, the lawyer has to prove negligence. The lawyer has to prove that they're entitled to the money. And that takes a lot of work. But, Ron, it's done every day. Every day, lawyers are out there getting well in excess of $25,000 of coverage. Well in excess. If you can bump yours up to at least 50, do it. If you can bump it up even higher, yeah, do it. But okay. But get yourself that extra coverage, and for the few dollars, and no, Ron, I'm not trying to attack your lifestyle or anybody else's. I don't know what it is, but you know, for the people out there that are listening, a lot of times they think they can't afford that extra $30 or $40 a month, and for this coverage that's protecting their assets and also protecting them. It's like I said, if they keep the uninsured motorist coverage there, it's protecting them. That's 4 or 5 trips to Starbucks. And I'm sorry, I have nothing against Starbucks, but you know, you can go to 7-Eleven and get the coffee a lot cheaper. It may not taste as good, but you can get the coffee a lot cheaper. But it's money that instead of spending on a cup of coffee, you're spending on protecting your entire assets, everything you worked for. You've worked hard for your pension, Ron.
Yeah, then the other question is, I'll be retiring in a few years. What portion of my pension could they take?
Well, and a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of pension you've got and what the pension itself says and what rights it is. But normally, good lawyers, good personal injury lawyers, or insurance companies exercising subrogation coming after you, they're going to go after all of the pension. And maybe there's some protections. I'm not aware of any automatic ones within the bankruptcy court. And that's the only place you can go to stop it. Maybe some protections are within the pension itself, but most of the time, they're going to come after all your assets. And if those assets aren't protected within the veil of what's available in bankruptcy, and I'll tell you what, Ron, let me get your name and number, and I'll send you the list of what's exempt property that they can't go after, okay?
Okay.
And then you can see what else there is, all right? And we can continue this off the air because we have to go to another break. I'm going to talk to, I'm going to send you this stuff so you have a chance to look at it, and then we'll talk more about your coverage, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for calling the Bell Pollock Legal Show. We're going to be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kathy about a real estate issue. We look forward to talking to you, Kathy. Hold on with us through the break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're going to talk to Kathy in just 1 minute. We're going to talk to Eric right now about a good, warm, hot breakfast today. Eric, can you do
that
for me?
Absolutely, we are. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Speaking of those hot breakfasts, we're starting with the new special. We're going to run it for the next 2 weeks. That is going to be our two-egg pork chorizo omelet. Now, we're going to load that up with sautéed onions and mushrooms. Of course, that pork chorizo will be in there. Side of hash browns comes with that, and as always, you can get that red or green chili right on top. I always go with that green, but they're both really good. That also comes with a choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes, and I always talk about those buttermilk pancakes on the side. But we have a variety of other things, whole wheat, white, multigrain, marble rye bread, all kinds of other options if you're not into the pancakes for that breakfast special. And our lunch special, speaking of warm again, is going to be what we're calling that chili bowl. We have our scratch-made beans. We're loading it up with either that red or green chili right there, some loaded mixed cheese on top of that, a little dollop of sour cream. And now if you want to add some carne adobada, which is our slow-roasted pork, or if you want to add some of our carne asada, which is our marinated steak, you can certainly ask your server for that. We can hook you up with that as well. That comes with also your choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes on the side if you want it. Flour tortillas are a real popular option for that. So that is the lunch special. Goes for the next 2 weeks. And, guys, don't forget, we're always running every Monday and Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., a early bird special. That early bird special is going to be two eggs, hash browns, your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage, of course, on that. That also comes with toaster tortilla on the side right there. So that's every Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We run crafts and mimosas for $13.50. Those are good to go. No deck today, but that's Colorado for you. But the flat screens are on, the NCAA tournament's on, all kinds of other things to check out. Tons of other scratch-made products on the menu as well to check out if that doesn't tickle your fancy right there. So we got all kinds of things going on at Caitlin's Restaurant, guys.
So, Eric, I'm coming down for a chili bowl and to watch some basketball.
You come on down. You got it going on. I think Michigan's playing. We got some big. We're down to the eight. So good times coming on down. Tons of things to check out and plenty of good prices. All kinds of things going on.
Sounds great, man. Where are you located?
Guys, that would be 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, come on down. I guarantee you will love it every bite of the way.
I love you. See you later, Eric. Take care, man. Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can give us a call. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. You heard a previous caller who called and wanted to know about some insurance coverage. Remember, get on our website, championsofthepeople.com, and take a look. We have six different books that talk about different personal injury topics. One of them is appropriate or the amount of coverage you have and what amount of coverage you want to have. We give these books out free. They're softback books. We're happy to give them out free. All you got to do is call our office, 303-795-5900. Our website is interactive, so you can just contact us through the website. Ask for the books. We'll send them to you, which can be a good starting point in all these issues that you're asking about. We're going to talk to Kathy right now. Kathy, thank you for holding. What can we do for you?
Thank you very much. My husband and I just recently found out that we've got an investment property that we bought through, I think it's a REIT, and we're in Colorado, and it's in South Dakota. And we just found out by accident, actually, that the restaurant that has a 20-year lease in that vacated in December, and it is not paying its rent to us, and so we're on the hook for a pretty ginormous rent to our mortgage company because we own the property and the building, but they had a 20-year lease in which they still have 9 more years, and we're trying to figure out what our options are.
Okay. Kathy, let me ask you. First of all, you say the property is located in South Dakota.
Correct.
How long ago did you buy the property?
About 9 years.
Okay.
10 years ago.
And when you bought it, obviously the restaurant was operating, paying money, and all the stuff that was necessary was
correct. Occurring. Every month, right on line.
Did you have And have you had a property manager watching over the property, or who's been taking care of the property out there?
No, they were responsible for everything, the property taxes, the property exterior, interior, everything.
Okay, the rest.
And we would go up there almost every year and take a look at it and make sure everything was fine.
Okay.
Because, you know, we had owned apartments in the past, so, you know, we would do that ourselves. So, but we felt comfortable up until this year. Everything was going just smooth as silk.
Okay. And the property is a one-tenant user, just the restaurant?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And it was a restaurant.
Okay.
It was a fast food restaurant.
Now, how long ago did the restaurant company leave, or did they stop paying?
Just maybe 3 months.
Okay.
And up until this month, they have been paying. Last month, they paid one half of their rent, and this month, they have not paid any.
Okay. You say it's a fast food restaurant?
Correct.
Is it a chain restaurant, or is it?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got the situation that you're looking at is that it's a chain restaurant, and so you might have some protections through the chain itself.
Possibly, because the chain is owned by a corporation, and my husband has talked to the owners of this chain, and it's an incorporation, and they said that last fall they closed most of their restaurants and they don't have any money. And, you know, they didn't bother telling us. We found out by accident that they vacated.
Okay. A lot of this is going to depend on the lease, you know, but, and I'm a little worried, and I'm not going to necessarily cast aspersions, but I've seen all over the internet, the Burger King's going out of business. Are we dealing
with
that?
That is not it.
Okay. All right.
It is one of that brand. It's a Yum brand.
Okay. So what we've got to do is we've got to take a look at and find out what the lease says and understand what your rights are under the lease. A lot of times the lease is going to have personal protections. It's going to have personal guarantees. Have you checked to see if those are in there?
We have not.
Okay. You got to get that lease. And I
do have it.
Okay. So we'd be happy to take a look at it for you and okay. give you a beginning part. Probably get you in contact with an attorney in South Dakota. It's going to depend. Because the lease may be a local lease, and when I say that, it may be local people you're dealing with and that you want to look at for the fact that they still owe you.
I think we are, because when we bought it, they owned more than 20 of these same type businesses.
Okay. Well, then that tells me that you may end out, we may be able to help you from here. To be able to get to get things, but right now the thing is that have you guys had a chance to get up there and see what condition they left the property?
Yes, and just yesterday, actually, my husband is on his way back in the Nebraska blizzard.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. He's safe and sound, but he was up there yesterday, and he said it's just very, very dirty, and there's not the building itself is fine, so.
Okay, so obviously he's got to make sure it's winterized and it's going to be in good condition and you're not going to have any problems. And you guys need to clean it up and get it back on the market, because most every lease I've ever seen, every requirement within the business or within the real estate business requires that you try and mitigate your damages, and that means you get it back on the market and you try and re-rent it, okay? Now, whether or not you guys want to do that directly or whether or not, once again, you want to find a property management company up there or whatever, you try and get it leased out for a fair market value.
Okay.
But that doesn't stop the chain and the restaurant business and the corporation and the individuals on the lease from being responsible for the missed rent and for the additional expenses you have in getting the place released and returning the property to its original condition. So those are the steps you want to take, and you want to get notice to the tenant. So we're going to want to talk to you about that and make sure we set you up right with it. Okay.
All right. We can certainly get in first of the week and visit with you.
Are there other people, owners? You initially said it was a REIT. Are you
the REIT?
So are there other owners involved? Is there an ownership
No.
group?
No, just my husband and me.
Okay, so what we want to do is figure out exactly what you guys are doing. In the meantime, you know, the mortgage still has to be paid. I'm sorry
That's
to
right.
tell you that, but you guys need to pay the mortgage. But, you know, I'm glad your husband was able to say the building's still in good shape, and obviously they left 3 months ago, that right through the cold. So thankfully, it sounds like they at least left the heat on, so you weren't left with the situation where the pipes broke and you had significant damage. But you know, you're going to have to get in touch with some people to get that thing under lease again and start getting some money.
Yeah, and we have been. We just want to make sure everything else is okay. We've been talking. We've got actually possible investors, and we should know in a couple of weeks, but we wanted to talk to you to see where we're sitting with the people that had the lease. So we are not left out in the dust with them just leaving us.
Right. This all starts with the lease. So get the lease, because I'm going to want you to get that over to us as soon as you can. Okay.
No problem. Can we make an appointment with you for next week?
Yeah, let me get you on hold, and we'll have you, and we'll call you and get you in and take care of you, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Kathy, I'm going to put you on hold. Please give your information to Kevin. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio, talking to you about your real or about your legal issues, whatever they may be, about the real estate. You got the great real estate guys coming up right after us, the Barry and Larry Show. That's what I call them, the real estate show. They will talk to you about what's going on in real estate in Colorado. I don't think they're going to take care of Kathy's problem, but those two guys are going to be able to talk to you about what's happening in your real estate life, especially the residential real estate life. They're very much aware of what happens, and they're very knowledgeable. They help people. That's their goal, is to help people. And so you stick around after our show and listen to them. You're going to like what you hear, and you're going to be very impressed with those two guys. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today, talking to you about your legal issues, the matters that you have that you're dealing with in your legal life. We're not a political show. We deal with legal questions, and if you have a legal problem or legal matter or something you want to deal with, you can contact us here at the studio, or you can get us at through the internet when you want to contact us. If you want to call in the studio today, we have a few open lines at 303-713-8255, or in Steamboat, it's at 970-457-1009. As I've stated before, we are personal injury lawyers. We've had our firm together since 1984. We've serviced people throughout the Denver metropolitan area, outside the metropolitan area. We have an office in Steamboat. We will handle your case anywhere. If you need help, give us a call at 303-795-5900. If you want to call our office, if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence or the wrongful acts of another, give us a call at, once again, 303-795-5900, or contact us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We've done this show now for well over 20 years. Every Saturday morning, we take your call-ins. Because we can't just narrow yourself into what we do in our legal lives and how we make our living and what we do every day to help people. Sometimes you got to get on the phone, and you got to be willing to help people outside your legal lives or outside your narrowed life. We have been doing this because we think people sometimes need help, or they just need to get steered in the right direction or be given a chance to be able to know what they got to do with the problem.
You know, Brad, we've been doing this for a long time. In fact, the Colorado Supreme Court recognizes law firms that provide pro bono type help to the people in the community, like this radio show that we do every Saturday.
And we're happy to do it. But as I stated, we also do personal injury work, and we're very adamant. We are very aggressive. We do our jobs and try and deal with making sure that we take care of people as they need our help. And we're going to take your calls in the order in which they've come. We're towards the end of the show, but we're going to deal with them. And if we don't get you before the end of the show, hang on. Kevin will get your numbers, and we'll call you back, and we'll make sure you know what's going on. But right now we're going to talk to Cindy in Colorado Springs. Cindy, you have some kind of surgeon issue dealing with your eyes?
Yes, I do. Thanks for talking to me. In October, I had a surgeon perform a cataract surgery on my right eye. And since then, I've not been able to see clearly at all. I've contacted him, followed up with him. He refused to do any other surgery. So I filed a complaint with the practice he works with and received a letter that he's no longer practicing there. So I don't know what to do. I can't pay for another cataract surgery. I paid him 100% for the work he did, and I can't see.
Okay, there's all sorts of things going off on in there on that, Cindy. And we're going to be getting your number and talking to you off the air because we've only got about another 5 minutes before we have to get off. But before we do that, let's talk. Okay.
Okay.
The first thing is you said it was in October?
Yes, October 18th.
Okay. When the practice told you the surgeon no longer works for them, did they say why?
No. I got the letter about 45 days ago, and they just said if you had appointments with this doctor, the office will be calling you to reschedule as he will no longer be here as of April 1st.
All right. I think that, and they say reschedule, and they want to reschedule right. with somebody else, but they don't even have another person to reschedule you with right now.
I have no idea whether they do or not. I was just kind of hoping. I actually filed a complaint with Kaiser, who was my insurance and paid part of the policy. They've done nothing. They said they would. They asked me, what did I want? And I said, I want to see. And they've done nothing.
Well, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the first steps with you when we call you this week, as far as getting you to doctors who can look and see what's going on with your is it just one eye or both eyes?
No, he wanted to do the second eye, but after the first eye, I didn't go back. No.
Okay, so we're going to want to get a doctor to find out what's going on with that eye. We're going to want to get the medical records. And we're going to help you to understand how to get those medical records so you can get those right away. And then we're going to have you, we're going to hook you up with the doctors who are going to take a look at you to find out what happened here. Sometimes a surgery can go wrong, and sometimes there's nothing that's been done wrong and everything's fine. And other times you have very significant issues where a surgeon has done something wrong and you don't really find out until you get another doctor taking a look and trying to address the problem. So in this situation, what we need to do first is learn why you're having these problems. And what worries me is you've expressed this problem to this practice. You've stated what the problems are. You've even gone through your own insurance company, and nobody's talking to you.
Yeah, I went back to his office 3 or 4 different times to visit with him. One time I was in tears, and he said to me, are you always like this? Well, no. Normally I'm not, but I can't see, and so, yes, I'm scared.
Well, of course.
And then he just got really cocky with me, and I'm like, okay. So I did all these tests that he asked me to do, and still nothing, and then all of a sudden, well, he's not here anymore, so.
That's not acceptable, and that's something you're going to deal with. So what we need to do is we need to address these issues with you on a personal basis.
Okay.
Stay on hold. Let Kevin get your name and number, and we'll call you this week, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're taking your calls in the order in which they've come. We've got just a few minutes, and we're going to talk to Paul. Paul, you're next up. What can we do for you, man?
Yes, sir. You were talking about the uninsured motorist policies and that. I just wanted to mention that I have that, and I went, or you know, some companies require you must have auto or both auto and home with them, and I also added that onto my umbrella policy, which my previous company didn't offer. I wanted to throw those facts out, and does that mainly protects me, not any other party?
You know, the uninsured motorist coverage will protect you. It will protect other people in your household. It will also protect other people that are in your car at the time of the crash.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
So it's a, not, it, Those are extensive policies. And
the MedPay also covers people in the car.
Yeah, the MedPay also. Paul, where'd you go? What insurance company?
I'm with American Family now.
Okay.
The auto I previously had was with Geico, and they didn't even offer umbrella coverage for UIM.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that you run into those situations where you have a number of policies or a number of insurance companies and a number of agents, and you need to shop it. You need to look at it. We don't get in our office anything from insurance companies. We don't deal with them. We don't get anything for helping to sell their insurance, but we darn well get a lot of satisfaction out of knowing that the people that we deal with are protected. And they have their assets protected, and they have their lifestyle protected, and they have good coverage. And I'm glad you shopped it. Now, you know, they make sure you have your MedPay, and getting an umbrella policy is an excellent idea. Now, as Bob stated, the umbrella policy does not cover UIM unless you specifically ask for it, and they give you an endorsement.
I did add that on. It was an extra fee. And Geico did not allow you to add UIM onto your umbrella.
The other thing, Brad, about the stacking, I mean, you can have multiple policies and increase that pool of money to protect you.
Okay. All right,
that's
Paul, we appreciate it. Good,
it's
good,
an add-on. Okay,
good call. Congratulations. You got yourself well protected. Stay with me.
I hope so. Thank
okay.
You.
Talk to you later. Thank you. You've been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Dean, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you. You had an interesting issue. You want to talk about hiring of illegal alien questions? Call us next week if you will, Dean. I'd like to talk to you and be able to discuss that with you about what the legal ramifications are. There can be some very serious ones, so give us a call. I'm just sorry we couldn't get to you. You've been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You can contact us at 303-795-5900 if you've been hurt in an accident as a result of negligence of another, or is something somebody's done something wrong. Call us. Let us help you. We want to help you. Call us at 303-795-5900 or contact us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We'll talk to you next week.